Last week, we were discussing a particular interesting personality who also makes reference to the Erchis Tzadikim. And the reference that we made was to a person, Rabbi Yoah HaKoyen of Izmir, the Mechaber of the Sefer Shevet Musar, who lived in the second half of the 1600s, and he was Nifter in 1729. A very fascinating personality. He was of the Gedolei Rabbonim in his generation, and he was a very choshev baldarshin, a very successful baldarshin, we pointed out. And his drushes were such that really made the mark, and he had tremendous hashpah on people who heard his drushes. Like the many, many svarim that he was mechaber, probably the one that's most mefursim is the Sefer Shevet Musar. From time to time also in the Chumash here in the morning, Shabbos morning, we sometimes feature some items of the Sefer Shevet Musar. It was printed many, many times and also translated, interestingly enough, into Yiddish years ago, going back way back. And we mentioned that among the different svarim that he wrote, and it's something that's close to 40 svarim, and the Sefer also Medrash Talpius. Medrash Talpius, the Sefer goes up Yisrael Aleph base, takes topics, according to Sefer Aleph, Aleph would be Avraham, Yud could be Yitzchak, Nun could be Nochash, bring all the various different Mamore Chazal on these various topics that he gleaned and he researched them through. So another Sefer that he wrote is called Sefer called Me'il Tzedakah, because in addition, as we said, of being a Baal Musar, he's also very much involved in raising money for tzedakah. We pointed out last week and talks a lot about it. Not in addition to the fact that he actually distributed everything that he had for tzedakah, but he also sought to it to see that other people as well. As a matter of fact, the Chidor writes in Sefer Shem HaGdolim, he writes that regarding Rabbi Yoah HaKoyen, the Shevet Musar, the Chidor writes that he was mechaber more than 30 svarim, close to Arboim, says the Chidor. Close to Arboim, close to 40. And he said that he was an apotropos godel aniyim, right? He was really someone who was an administrator, you know, took care of the aniyim, and he would go himself, hoylev ekoifetz yad al yad mahagvirim, he would go to rich people to collect, and umachalik aniyim, and distribute it to the poor people. In addition, the Chidor says, he was very successful in his drushes, that verabim heishiv me'ovoin. He was successful in bringing back many people, right, from continuing to sin. We'd bring people, be ma'ir them to tshuva b'droi shoysov v'toycha choysov. There was drushes and his musar umesek l'shoynoi, and through the beauty of the way that he was able to present his drushes and to put people, set them back on the right track. Interesting, being he was great in Kabbalah, so here's something which is very, very fascinating. In a number of places in his forum, you know, Medrash Talpius, you talk about reincarnation, and you talk about, you know, the afterlife, and you talk about, you know, various nishamas that sometimes, you know, there's interesting, the Chazanish himself writes, was found in some of his little notes, found on his table. Chazanish was a litvisher, you know, would appear to have any shaykhis or with these type of situations. And he writes that, b'yoyim pleini, this particular day, that in this year, he says, nishmas pleini ben pleini came to me. He writes down the name, said, and asked me for a tikkun on his neshama. Very, very fascinating thing from a person like the Chazanish. So the Sefer Medrash Talpius, the Mechaber again, that we're talking about, Rabbi Yoah HaKoyen, the Mechaber of the Shevet Musar, he writes, I have to just quote to you, in the Sefer he has in the Oiz Gimel, among the different topics of Oiz Gimel, it's called Anaf Gilgulim. He talks about Gilgul, reincarnation. So he writes, Hein kol ra'asa eini, in my own eyes, he said, I've seen mekama ruchos, I've seen many spirits, he says, hanechnosim, he says, beguf ha'odom. I myself have seen and witnessed many spirits that have entered the bodies of people. In other words, spirits of people who have died, and now they enter the bodies of people. They had no permission to go there because they want to save themselves, because neshamas who have passed on and have to give din v'cheshbon, and their lot is that the neshama has to undergo a refining process, a purification process, and the neshama therefore, until it reaches its place in Gan Eden, finally, has to undergo a particular process which would be quite painful to the neshama, this refining process. And if the neshama wants to spare itself, so it tries to hide out, and the way it could save himself from the malachi chabola, from these, you know, these vicious malachim, is by entering the body of a human being, because no forces have the reshus, have the permission to attack a live person just because a foreign neshama entered it. This is known as a dibuk, as you know, you've heard about that. So he writes in the Sefer Medrash Talpiyos that I've seen many ruchos hanechnosim beguf adam v'dibarti imor. I spoke to them, I communicated. V'sipreli, and he told me, these neshamas, mahamayim hazidoinim, it's a figure of speech, it means from all the troubles, he says, from all the troubles, morim, bitter situation that they find themselves, parachim be'avir, the neshama, until it reaches its resting place, is sort of like navanat, it's like wandering, parachim be'avir, like floating in air. He says, udvarim temurim, and he said to me astonishing things about the oinish that the neshama is undergoing. And he goes on to say, I don't want to be ma'arich in this particular segment, he says, I don't want to talk about too much because I spoke about in other areas, but I want to tell you one thing. I will not hold back. I want to tell you one astonishing thing that I saw regarding this in my communication with various neshamas. And he writes as follows. Beruach echot, a particular spirit, in other words, he also had the ability of being able to drive out a dibuk that found itself a sort of safe haven in another person. Now for the neshama it's all fine that the neshama is protected, but the person who received the dibuk, the person who received that neshama, is full of suffering and in anguish and loses control of its whole being, and simply it is controlled by this foreign neshama that entered it. And therefore, those Gedoyli soil, not very many, who had the ability, you know, had the ability to drive out a dibuk, famous story of Bechonon said on a Purim with Rebbe Chofetz Chaim. This was a mice who used to be told over every time, every year on a yearly basis. Rebbe Chonon himself had witnessed how the Chofetz Chaim drove out a dibuk. But it's another mice. So he said also, he had the koyach, B'yoha Koyin. He says, so I put him in Cheirim. I excommunicated him, and I forced him with various charomos, various, you know, oaths and so on. Lotzeis. So what did he do? What does neshama do? So on one hand, he was forced to leave, but he didn't want to leave. So ma also, what did neshama do? Lekayim acherim. So on the one hand, he had to fulfill the cherim that I meant again, that I made against him. So yotzev min aguf, he escaped the guf. What did he do? He went right into the hair of the person. So technically, he's out of the body, but he's still connected to the person on the outside. So he went, v'nichnas b'toich ha'sarei shibarosh. And the neshama went and entered into the hairs of the head. And as a result, he said, I noticed something which is amazing. The hair of the person, that person, in the middle of his head, that apparently that was the place where the ruach, where the spirit entered. The hair there stood up, surrounded by the hairs around it. That's where in the lying position, the normal position. But the hair in the middle, he says, v'komu hasairis. The hair stood up, me'emsa harosh, from the middle of the head, v'yotsu, and they stood out, you know, from the frame of all the other hairs around it, shebisov v'varosh. And not only that, the hairs that actually stood up, the nasu asaris koshim, it became so hard. Hair is very, you know, pliable, you can bend it very. But those particular hairs became so hard, like metal pins. Imagine metal pins standing up. So what did I do? Now I had to get rid of him from the hair. I had to get him out of the hair. Get out of the hair. So v'tzivisi lehistaper hasairis, what I did, I commanded that he shaves all the hair of his head, but he uses a tar, a razor. To use a razor to shave all the hair of his head. He says, ukeshoyim agia. And look what happened. So when the razor, okay, it was fine. When he started, I was okay. Until he reached the middle of his head, that was the place, that was the place of the problem. Ukeshamagia hatar etzel asairis. So he says, so the hair started bending towards the razor as if to push it away, not to allow the razor to cut them. And started pushing with some force, pushing the razor to prevent it from cutting the hair. And was pushing it until only with a lot of strength, Gilchua Cyrus, they were able, he says, to cut the hair. Ultimately, he was successful. And you see some sort of a smoke from the top of the person's head, dakmoid, very thin, and he left through those means, right through that derech. And he says, "Adayim l'nira kazoyisik." In all my dealings with, he says, with the bookim, with the books, he says, I never saw this type of episode. V'lanishma kamoyu. Never hear anything about that ever again. Something like that. So that was one, as I say, very, very interesting thing. Here is something, a very sad thing that he mentions. Okay, this was in Sefer Medrash Talpiyos, he mentions. Now, in the Sefer Mil Tzedakah, which is a Sefer that deals with Tzedakah, because he was a very strong advocate of giving Tzedakah, giving charity. As I said, not only he distributed all that he had, but he also himself went personally, would go to people who could afford it, to be able to take money from them and distribute it to the poor, to the needy. So in the Sefer Mil Tzedakah, Siman Aleph actually, he writes this following. He writes, "Ikarti ish nechbad. I knew a person," he says, "an honorable person, the honor of an humble person, the yashar, a straightforward person." Because, sir, I knew a very chosh of a person, the nichnak, and he strangled himself. Committed suicide. Look at my shisha chadoshim, 6 months, lemisosoi, after he died, he says, the nisham of this honorable person entered the body of a woman. Boha ruach beguf isha achas. The spirit entered the body of a woman. So I went to meet him. I went to speak to him. And I asked him, I spoke to the spirit. I want to know, you are an honorable person. I don't doubt it, that in your lifetime you are an honorable person. What prompted you to do something so drastic? To take your life. To do something like that. Commit suicide. The heishiv b'kol b'chiyah, and the spirit answered with a crying voice. Shebalayla shetola atzmoi baboiker. The morning, he said, that morning that he hung himself, he was supposed to get married the night after. Imagine such a thing. A person commits suicide a couple hours before he's supposed to get married. Hoy osid likonis b'chupa, in the laila after. What happened? For hu hoy yisachir shel osher echot kili v'novel. He says, I was an employee by a rich man who hired me, but he was a stingy person, and he was a lowlife. He was a novel. And I begged him, that being that I'm getting married, you should advance me. I need my salary. Advance me some money in advance. Because I need to push it. I need the money to get married. That he should advance his schar pu'ulos, so he should advance some of the salary. A few days, not asking too much. Advance me a few days of salary ahead of time. Advance me. Mishrom shlohoye pruta biyodah likonis techupah. Because he didn't have even one pruta. Didn't have a penny, didn't have a cent to get married. So all he did is, I asked my employer, a rich man, but he was a stingy man. He promised to give me. Vivtichoy losasle. But it turns out it was just a trick. The reason he promised me, because he wanted me to trust him and work in good faith, because I was a very, says, honorable worker, and I would give him my all. So he didn't want me sort of to sit back and lazy on the job. So then he told me that he'll give me everything that I asked for in order that I continue to give him my all that I'm able to give. But he was only tricking me by promising me. That I should do what I have to do with all my strength. He says, when it came to the day of the chuppah, it came to the day of the wedding, Shigia Yoim, a day before, Koidim Shikonas the chuppah, Baal Ishul Memenu, the spirit, who is now a spirit, he came to the employer, and he asked them, Hamoy Shinoda Alosusloi. He came to ask him, requested the money that you promised to give him. Dochvoi Bidvarim, he just pushed him away with some words, Vainosan Leklum, he didn't give him anything. Mipnei HaBusha, this is what the spirit said. Because of the bush, because of the embarrassment to get married, he says, without a penny, he says, Tohoye biyode prute likonis lechupe, he chose chenek, he chose strangulation, the tola atzmoi, adkan. This is the end of the story. The point, moral of the story is, says the Shevet Musar, Re'ei adkama magi odam nechbot, look what can cause a person who can be so honorable, who has to come on, who is needy, has to come on, embarrassment has to come on to people, who can cause such a situation that he would ultimately take his life because of the busha, because of the embarrassment, he was not able to sustain it. So here is again just interesting thing, another encounter that he had with various spirits. So I want to tell you just one more situation, episode, and this he writes in the Sefer Shevet Musar. And here is just an indication, as we mentioned, that the Chidor wrote that the Shevet Musar was very successful in his droshes to be more people to tshuva, to make bali tshuva, to people to stop sinning. So he writes in the Sefer Shevet Musar as follows. He writes, "So machlibi v'yogel kevoidi, I'm tremendously joyful," he says. "I'm very happy," he writes. Why? Lifnei Boiri, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shepam Achas, Hirbeisi Divrei Musar Barabim B'yom Shabbos Kodesh B'Shas Hadrash. In the time that I used to darshan, so a particular Shabbos, he says, I gave a drosha, Divrei Musar, V'hoi Yisham Ishechod, and among the people, among the listeners, was a person, Shoyemazmin Loi Eishis Ish Lahalich Etzla B'leil Motzei Shabbos. Here a Chazav Sholem situation. It was a person who had already made an appointment, he's going to meet an Eishis Ish, and he's going to sin with her on Motzei Shabbos. But he was in shul on Shabbos, and he heard my drosha. U'kishomoy Divrei Musar, B'dabri, U'miloy Shoynois, with all the words that I said, Nishbali Yoistroy, he swore to his Yetzahara that he's going to control it, U'pirish, and he separated himself. How do we know about the Maisa? Because Motzei Shabbos he came to tell me. Instead of going where he was thought to go, so the Baleil Motzei Shabbos bo lahachzik litoyve, he came to be mahachzik toyve akoras atoyv, and he was not embarrassed because he had such a koras atoyv to me. He told me exactly what he wanted to do. I'd be embarrassed to reveal this to such a person, to such tzaddik. So the sipeli ho'inyan v'hoide v'lei boish, he admitted it and did not spare, you know, being embarrassed. He told me because he wanted to give me credit for being the one that had separated him from this Avera. So just to mention, so the Shevet Musar, regarding the Sefer, why are we mentioning this? This personality, the Shevet Musar, was also involved with the Orchis Tzadikim. As a matter of fact, he did not call it Orchis Tzadikim. He called the Sefer Orchis Chaim. The same Orchis Tzadikim, you know, they underwent different names. As he said, he lived so many hundreds of years ago, and there were different, therefore, in different printings and in the manuscripts, there was a being, everybody knew it was a Sefer Musar. But exactly what the name of it was not clear. Certainly, it's the way of life, it's the way of Tzadikim, so it's all true. Some call it Sefer Hamidois, the Sefer of Traits. So the Sefer Shevet Musar, when he refers to the Orchis Tzadikim, he calls it Orchis Chaim. And in Perek Memvav, he brings a healthy chapter of Shar Yerushamayim, because in the Orchis Tzadikim, there's one of the chapters deal with Yerushamayim, and from the Shar Yerushamayim, the Sefer Shevet Musar brings and draws a lot of information of the Orchis Tzadikim. So here again, just again talking about another personality dealing with the Sefer Orchis Tzadikim, of course, was admired. So we go now, Rabbi Yisai. We have to move a little bit ahead in the Sefer Orchis Tzadikim. And what we are on Daf Yud Beis in the Orchis Tzadikim, in the middle somewhere, you'll see. And we're still in the chapter dealing with pride, dealing with gaivet, dealing with arrogance, dealing with haughtiness. And it goes on to say, Hagaivet mivil the day redifus momen. Among the other faults, because he pointed out that gaiva is not just a bad trait, which is a trait, a middle raw in and of itself, but also it is so bad because it leads to so many other problems. Gaiva, besides being in and of itself a middle raw, a bad character trait, a terrible character trait, but it also leads to so many, branches out into so many different areas. And he gave us many examples, and he continues to give us more examples of all the terrible things that gaiva, arrogance, haughtiness, leads to. And he goes on further. A gaiva mivil a day redifus moment. It causes a person to be one who pursues money. If you're about gaiva, you're a person of pride, right? Person whose head swells with pride, it will lead you to redifus moment, to pursue money. Why? Lehishtarer al bnei adam, to be able to rule over people. If you have money, you have power. So this person is about gaiva, and therefore he needs power. So part of that is to pursue money. He's driven to pursue money because he wants to enjoy the power that money can give him, as he points out. And he says further, Kvar Yodato, and you already know, I don't have to tell you, says the Orchis Tzadikim, Ma Eira LeKoyruch Vadosoy, Machmes Gavosoy. We know what happened to Koyruch because of his gaiva, that he wanted to usurp the kahuna from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Aharon HaKohen, right? And that's all because of the covet. He wanted the covet, he wanted the honor. We know what happened to Koyruch. And he points out that Korach really, what gave him the ability even to rise up against Moshe, because Korach was very rich. Rich as Korach. Korach was very rich. And because he was very rich, that is what gave him the Korach, that's what gave him the power, that's what gave him the courage, if you will. And that what gave him the feeling that it is right to, in order to demand that he should be the person who has all of the Gedulah, not a Aharon HaKohen. When you have money, it gives him the feeling that he has a right and he has the ability to be able to rule over people. The fact, as he mentions, that Korach's situation was as a result of the fact that he was rich, that is what allowed Korach to go ahead and led him down that path. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kufyud. Shlomo Melech tells us when a person has Ashiris, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives one Ashiris, could be for one or two purposes, either for his benefit, and sometimes to his detriment. Was the Lashon, if you might remember, Gehelis, Oysher Shomer Leba'olav Lera'osay. Ashiris that is preserved by the one who owns it, who has it, who keeps it, Lera'osay, to do him bad. That's the Pasuk in Gehelis, and Rish Lakish comes along in the Gemara and says, where is an example of that? Where is an example of that Ashiris, a person who had Ashiris, and it was to his detriment, right? It pushed, led to his downfall. Om Rish Lakish, that Oysher Shal Kairach. That is referring to Korach. And the Mashiach points out, there's the Ashiris of Korach. He points out, he says that, because the truth is, you know, Yosef HaTzadik, of all of the treasures that Yosef HaTzadik had, which came out of Mitzrayim, a chelik of it, which was stashed away. Korach found part of that treasure. Kodesh Baruch Hu min HaShemayim, right, orchestrated that Korach should be able to find a chelik of the treasure. Now, the chelik that was kept by Yosef is something that's only for good purposes. It's going to be lost at Lova, it's going to be used for good purposes. The chelik, but that part which Korach found, that was given to him for the opposite. That chelik was for Korach, that's from the oyster of Yosef, but that was Lera. And that was the source of his downfall, as we saw. Shebikesh lehiz gadel, Korach wanted to aggrandize, right? Aggrandize himself. Velikach gedula. Shalai nitnu lemin ha-shamayim. He wanted to take godless. He wanted to take honors that was not given to him. He wanted by himself to take what's not coming to him. Metoichach nichnas l'machloikis. As a result, of course, he went into machloikis. Korach goes into machloikis. Umin machloikis. And from machloikis, yosakino. Then you had jealousy. Visino. Then you had hatred. Yet all of this was all part of that. So then you had hatred. You see, b'chol elu midos p'chusas moed. All of these are very lowly character traits. Kasha yizboya bezat Hashem. I will talk in future chapters. I'll talk separately about kina. I will talk about sinna. But all of this came as a result of the gaiva of Korach. So as a result of the gaiva of Korach, we saw what happened to him. Was machlekes. Machlekes led to kina, to jealousy. Jealousy led to hatred, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to quote to you the words of the Mesilas Yesharim, Ramchal in Perek Yud Aleph, just two or three lines. Ramchal writes, Mi goram leKorach sheyoyvad hu v'chol adosa yimoy. What was the cause? It's really reiterating. Mr. Sushoim was much later than the Yorchis Sadikim. So nevertheless, he quotes the same idea on his own. He says, "Who? What was the cause that Korach and his whole congregation, his whole people, his whole company should get lost, should be destroyed? It's mipnei hakovoid. It's because of the honor. He was seeking honor. U'mikrim olahu. It's a beferish posik. The posik says, 'U'bikashim gam karuna.'" So we see, of course, that was the Sibir. And as the Orach Tzadikim tells us, the Orach Tzadikim talks about the fact, about Machloikis. And we know, you know, when it comes to Machloikis, we know the Mishnah Novice tells us something interesting. The Mishnah Novice tells us that there are two types of Machloikis. There's a Machloikis that's what's known as the Machloikis L'Shem Shamayim. There's a Machloikis that is for the sake of heaven. And then there's a machloikis which is not l'shem shemaim. Machloikis l'shem shemaim is Shammai v'Hilul. Machloikis l'shem shemaim is a machloikis l'shem v'Hilul. They argued in halacha. The machloikis that's not l'shem shemaim, that's for personal interest, that's Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu. So says the Mishnah Novice Perek Hei. Just interesting thing. You realize when you make a siyum on Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, when you make a siyum. So what is the last? What is the last memru? What is the last? The last Mishnah talks about a few lines before that it says, if you want a vessel that contains bracha, blessing, you know what that is? Shalom, peace. If you don't have shalom, then there's no blessing. What is the kli that's marked that can hold blessing? You want blessing? Peace. No machloikis. Don't argue, don't fight with people. Be fighting, machloikis. Stay in harmony. No machlekes. It's a very interesting. Why Shisha Sidra Mishnah? You know, there's so many words of Musa, so many words of ethics that can be taught. Why Dafke Dadi? Why Sholem ends? Why is the last Mishnah, all the entire Shisha Sidra Mishnah, when you complete Shisha Sidra Mishnah, why is the last thing it concludes with Sholem? Someone said many, many years ago, I said one thing, listen, somebody learns Mishnayos, and he completes all the six Siddurim, all of Mishnayos. I don't know how much he remembers of the Mishnahs that he learned. One thing he remembers, every Mishnah had a machloike. Who's gedenk there? Rabbi Meir argues with Rabbi Yehuda, Bisham against Beisilum. What he talking about, by the way, doesn't remember that either. But remember, it was a machloike. Every mission was a machloike. By the time he finishes Mishnayos, they come to the conclusion that machloikes, that's the derech haTorah, that's the way. Machloikes, that's the Jewish way. So the mission can't say, no. Hashem oizlam yitten, Hashem yivazav shodet. Machloikes is not the derech haTorah. The fact that you find arguments, you find machloikes in the Mishnah, this is not personal machloikes. That's machloikes l'shem shemayim. They're not arguing against each other personally. They're not fighting personally. They have no disdain one for the other. Each one is machaber the other. So machloikes in Deis, and machloikes sometimes in Ashkofe. But it's not personal. This is machloikes l'shem shemayim. So don't misread. Don't misread the messages from each and every Mishnah. Finally, when you've concluded, Shisha said, Mishnah, that machloikis, that's the way. This is not machloikis. This is not your regular machloikis. It's a totally different aspect. And the male is machloikis l'shem shemayim, which is soifel iskayim. Now, interesting thing. Now, in a simple understanding is, it says, call machloikis l'shem shemayim, soifel iskayim. And machloikis that's not l'shem shemayim, ain't soifel iskayim, will not endure. Well, that's good. Is that something... The Mishnah seems, right, to put a damper, says that machloikis is not l'shem shemayim, guess what? It's not going to have a kiyum. Adrabah, so say it. The Mishnah seems to make a negative out of this. It's very good. So there's a very interesting pshat that the Bartanur himself says. So what does it mean? Literally, you have to know Pashup pshat. This way the Bartanur, Vindip pshat. What does it mean? A machloikis is not l'shem shemayim, ein soifel iskayim. It's not going to endure. So that should be good. So what's the indictment over here? So the Bartanur says like this. Machloikis is not l'shem shemayim means the machloikis is for a purpose. In other words, a purpose. Use this for glory. Take an example, Korach. The machloikis was not l'shem shemayim. So there was a tachlis. The machloikis is not the tachlis. The tachlis, the machloikis was a means to an end. What's machloikis? Machloikis is not for the sake of machloikis. The machloikis was to want to achieve something. Hopefully, what do they want to achieve? To become a kohen. To become a kohen gadol. If it's not l'shem shemayim, the tachlis will never come. The tachlis that you hope to achieve from a machloikis. If it's l'shem shemayim, then soifa means the end result, l'skayim, you're going to be a masliach. If you have a machloikis for l'shem shemayim purposes, soifa, the soif means, the soif, the end result of that machloikis that you hope to achieve will have a kiyum. But a machloikis is not l'shem shemayim, so soifa means the purpose that you started it all together, you're not going to achieve it. Korach made a machloikis in order to achieve kunik, to achieve honors. Ein soif al iskayim. The soif of that machloikis means the end result will not happen. So that's like a punishment. That's what the Mishnah means. That's soif al iskayim means the purpose, the end result. If it's l'shem shemayim, will take place. You'll find fruit. It'll be fruitful. But if it's a machloikis which is not l'shem shemayim, ein soif al iskayim. The Avraham Aslanim, the Aslanim Rebbe, is the second Rebbe Avraham Aslanim, Talmud Gilut Hazoi. There's many kinds of machloikis. But you know, machloikis which are not that important, they don't last so long. I guess that's worth shattering. People have a machloikis, difference of opinion in certain situations. They argue about politics. That can become world enemies. Maybe for a day, you know. They 2 days, 3, 4, 5 days. Okay, it's not that important. Machloikis, that's very important machloikis. There's a very important machloikis. The issues are very, very important. That can take forever. Because there's no way to overlook it because they're very important issues. Of all machloikis in the world, which are the most serious? Which are the most dangerous machloikis? The most dangerous machloikis is machloikis regarding religion. When there's machloikis religion, different religions argue. You see what's going on in the world. We have different religions. My religion, your religion. So he said pshat like this, call machloikis that's l'shem shemayim. I hold my l'shem shemayim is right, you hold your l'shem shemayim. Soifel l'skayim is going to last forever. A religious machloikis, he says, never ends. And the machloikis deals with l'shem shemayim. Who has l'shem shemayim? I say my way is the l'shem shemayim. You say your way is the l'shem shemayim. That becomes such a heated inyan, such a heated discussion that soifel l'skayim is just going to last forever. Because nobody's want to give in. I'm giving my religion is less superior than your religion. I'm wrong and you're right. When it's machloikis and they're dealing with what the l'shem shemayim should be, the machloikis l'shem shemayim he explained. If the machloikis is what the l'shem shemayim is, I say this is the l'shem shemayim. This is what Hashem wants. You say this is the l'shem shemayim. If it's a religious machloikis, then soif al iskayim. This is just going to continue. It says on and on and on. So in any case, so goes further. Goes further here the Yochid Tzadikim, and he goes on to point out, and he says, Soiv Dover, at the end of the day, Kol Mikashit Es Gufoi, a person who adorns his body kedei lehis goyis. A person who keeps adorning his body. It could be either with clothing or a flashy type of jewelry, expensive jewelry he puts on himself. A person who's makashet this gufoi kedei lehis goyis in order to flaunt it. A person who's doing that, hareza shecheyach Hashem Baruch Hu, means this kind of a person is going to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo yochush al ha-mitzvahs, he's not going to be concerned about mitzvahs. V'lo yirdoif achav maisim toivim, and he's not going to pursue good deeds, because he's not going to be interested in these things, because kikol kavanos el atzmoi, because his whole kavan is for himself, likashet gufoi hakola, in order to adorn his diminishing body. Listen, how long does the body last? But he wants to adorn that body. What does the pasuk say? Ki hoy lecha odom al beis elomoi. Person only lives only that long, but his kavana is to adorn that body, that diminishing body. He's made that becomes his main goal in life. Ultimately, he's going to forget a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's going to not worry about mitzvahs. He's not going to pursue ma'asim tovim. All of these things are going to become secondary. He says he wants to adorn that body, said, which is diminishing, which the end result is going to become rima, means worms, infested with worms. How does it say the Mishnah Novis? Mishnah Novis says moed moed havishval ruach. Remember to be humble, because what do you have to hope for at the end? Shetikvas enosh rima, because what you hope for at the end of the day is rima, right? Worms. From akashet gufoy, and a person who basically who adorns his body is also who korev lezima. Such a person is very close to get caught up in immorality. Hey, he wears $50,000 watches, $10,000 worth of cufflings, $2,000 worth of sunglasses. They're the kind of person just trying to adorn himself. He said, because such a type of a person, at the end of the day, the Yetzer Hara works on all fronts. So now he's going to want to present himself to find favor in the eyes of women. Ki Yisroel ifnei noshim lisachem b'neim. Hey, look, I have all this expensive stuff. Look at me. And then he's going to want to present himself in front of women in order that they should admire him. And one thing will lead to another, that he will become closer to them. And then he'll fall prey to levity and lightheadedness, you know, become loose. And one thing will lead to another. It's an interesting thing. The Mesilas Yishon Ramchal writes in Per Yud Gimel. We stop for a moment. The Ramchal writes in Per Yud Gimel, Mesilas Yishorim, interesting thing. The Torah per se, when it talks about restriction of clothing, it doesn't talk about much about restricting anything, only klayim, diverse fibers, right? You have to make sure you can't wear klayim. But that's it. But the truth is, he says, there are many more problems, he says, in begotten with clothing can do, says the Mesilas Yishorim. The Torah just didn't talk about it. The Torah spoke about klayim. He said, but there's many more things that clothing can do. And he says, Milo Yoda, who does not know, Shemalbishas Hape'er Varikmot, different types of very fancy type expensive clothing, Timshech Hagave, Gamhaznus, he says, Yigvalbo. And even immorality will border into it. Besides the fact of jealousy, taive, and all the other things that come. And he points out, he brings a Chazal in the Medrash, Ramchal brings down, Chazal say Medrash Rabbah, Kim Sheroya HaYetzer. The Yetzirah is very, very cunning. The Yetzirah sees when he has you in his clutches. And the Medrash says, when the Yetzirah sees that the person is Mamashur Bibigodov, he's so much into his clothing, because he wants to find favor in the eyes of women, and he sees that how he's fancying up his hair, Omar, the Yetzirah says, Eshali, this man is already mine. Echob Mishen. He says, my work is cut out for me. So the behavior of a person in these areas is already, he himself has already himself set the trap for himself. And the Rosh Hashanah goes on. And this, when we're talking about how a person dresses in a very particular, ostentatious way, because he wants to be admired. So this problem is also with women also, it's not just on the men. A woman who basically, who adorns herself and dresses up for the sake of men, in front of men. She inflames their hearts, umachneses hirurim belibam, and stirs up all types of lewd thoughts in their minds. Ubezeh onsha gadol miyoid. In Shemayim, the punishment will be quite great, because she nesenes michshel ifnei rabim, because she's bringing a michshel, she's bringing a stumbling block in front of others. Halei omru chachomim. After all, the chachomim have already said that it's osur chachomim, the chachomim of asur listakil bebigdei tzivoyim shel noshim. Chacham of Asher, the person should not gaze on colored apparel of women, meaning those type of begodim, those type of women's clothing that could arouse his thoughts. And particularly, the Isser is really only if you know whose clothing the woman belongs to. Now, sometimes a person walks in the, into a department store, there's a rack of all types of women's clothing. The main hakpoda that says here, a person should not be mistakel bebigdei tzavoinim, the Shulchan Aruch says, is referring to those. Ebenezer Simch of Aleph. Loshen is also listakil bebigdei tzavoinim, the colorful clothing of a woman, shehu makira, even if she's not wearing it. Shema, why? Because it'll cause him to think about her. Hashtuchim bekoisel, even though it's just that she's not wearing it, it's just to spread out somewhere on the wall. Afilu kishenim lebeshes ben, even if she's not wearing it. So imagine, but if she is wearing all this type of clothing in order to present herself, to make herself attractive in front of men, you can imagine what the punishment, the great punishment for the woman, who dresses up, because they are gazing on her. Very interesting thing, you know. One once asked Rebbe Lapian, he asked him, you know, regarding the mitzvah of tchelus on tzitzis. So mitzvah of tchelus, you know, you have these strands of blue. And the Gemara tells us, why is it the mitzvah of Tchelus? So the Gemara tells us, because why? Because Tchelus is doim liyam. Tchelus, the color of blue, is doim to the sea. The sea is blue. And the yam is doim l'rikia. And the sea is doim to the sky. Sky is also blue. And the sky is doim to the kisei kovet. Which technically means, if you look at tzitzis, what you're supposed to see is the kisei kovet. But it goes in steps. That's the purpose. When you're looking at tzitzis, looking at the blue of tzitzis, you're supposed to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the ultimate kavanah. So when I see tzitzis, and I see the blue in the tzitzis, so I'm supposed to make the cheshem. My mind's supposed to make the cheshem. Hey, tchelus is blue. Blue is like the sea. Sea is like the sky. The sky is like the kisei kovet. So when I'm looking at tzitzis, looking at the tchelus of tzitzis, what am I supposed to be reminded of? Tzitzis is supposed to be a remez. It's supposed to be a hint. Tchelus is supposed to be a hint of the kisei kovet. So somebody asked Rebbe Lapian, said to him, hey, how do you expect it? I'm looking at tzitzis all day. It never occurred to me, you know, even if I'd see tchelus, you know, that... What am I going to think of? I'm going to see the kisei kovet when I'm looking at tzitzis. How am I supposed to, by looking at tzitzis, so many different things that are blue. So many different things that are blue. So how is the tchelus supposed to remind me of the kisei kovet? So Pian said, well, let me ask you another halacha about reminding you when you see something. So halacha, if you see bigdei tzavoinim of a woman, he says, you shouldn't be looking at it because it reminds you of something. How come looking at attractive clothing of a woman reminds you of, because dotli dankop, he says, he says, if your head would be connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu, then when you see Tchelis, you'd see HaKadosh Baruch Hu too. In other words, hints remind you of things where your mind is at. Where your mind is totally disassociated, and those hints don't work. Everybody understands the hint of how come red reminds you of that, but blue doesn't remind you of that. Because in that area, it says that's where your mind is at. So rather, the big Tzavayim, the colorful, the God remind you of that. Because that's where your mind is at. But Tchelus, unfortunately, does not remind you so easily about the Kisei Kovet because you're not into it. So the Avodas HaOdam is, as a matter of fact, to bring yourself closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that his mind should be connected. Then next time you'll have a little hint about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you'll zero into it and you'll focus on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Furthermore, he says, Void, HaGaiva Mevi'a L'Dei Taiva. Says, Gaiva brings a person also to Taiva. It leads to lust. This is all the examples of where it leads to, besides gaiv again being a terrible trait on its own. Pride being a terrible trait, but what it leads to. Gaiva, pride also leads a person to lust. Why? As he points out. Because a person who is proud, who has gaiva, liboy rochav, his heart is expansive, it's sort of like wide, opens up like a pocket. Umisava lechodover, and he desires for everything. Va'ataive, he says, he hamidra ho'ro'o shebechol amidus. Desire, taive, lust, he says, is the worst midah, he says, of all of the traits. Ki yisave machmes gavosoi, because of his gaive, first of all, gaive is going to lead him to all types of taive. First of all, if he's a balgave, he's going to desire to wear very expensive clothing, that was one part of it. Lislavish bebegodim yikarim. He's going to want to wear expensive clothing. By the way, gaiva is going to cause you to lead a lifestyle that you can't afford. So it's going to bring you also to rob and to steal. It goes on. This is a chain of where all this leads to so many different directions. So if you're about gaiva, this is going to bring you taiva. Taiva for what? He can give you examples. He says, taiva, he says, begodim yikarim, to wear expensive clothing. And also, velivnois paltrim gedoilim, to build stately mansions. That's the kind of house I deserve to live in. You're about gaiva, so now you have a taiva for a mansion. And I have to eat gourmet food. Ki hamizgoy, because the person who is proud, la'olam ledvarim givayim yachmoid, he always will desire exotic things, simply who are very special. But how about maybe he can't afford it, and yet he desires it. He's a Bulgaiver. So you know what's going to happen? As a result of that, so he's going to steal and he's going to rob. Because the person was proud, his desires are no end. It's as wide as the sea. He wants to become rich. He'll never be happy. Even if he does become rich, he still won't be happy. Why? Because being that he has such desires, everything that he has will not be enough to afford. You know, his desires are much more than what he has. He says, "Ki yimat be'ein of mashiyeshloi, whatever he has will not be enough. If you rave, it's so estavas gavosoi." Kim tochos, it'll be just a never-ending, it'll be just a vicious cycle of all the terrible things that it's going to lead to. We'll take a few minutes now, Rabbi. Let's take a look at the sheet that we have here. We're going to stop here and take a look. This is from the Sefer Imrei Baruch, interesting, in Parsha Shmini. He talks about, and this is again another branch of the Inyan of Gaiva Proud, and that's called Moed Alo Emes. One of the most difficult things for a person to do, and the Inyan of Gaiva certainly is that which makes it very difficult for a person, is that is to admit that he was wrong. Admit is wrong. He used to say that the most two difficult words in a person's life ever to say, in 120 years that he's going to live, the most two difficult words is to say, "I'm sorry." The most two difficult words. To be a Moed Alo Emes is a tremendous mila. And the greatest Gedolei Yisrael, part of the greatness was that they were always Moed Alo Emes. Never failed to admit if they were wrong, they admitted that they were wrong. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, with the discussion Parsha Shmini with Aaron HaKohen, without going into it, with Nadav Avihu there, Vayishma, Moshe says, Vayitav Beinov. Moshe Rabbeinu heard what Aaron HaKohen, as he presented the case, was that there was a machlokes in halacha without getting into it. But he said, Vayishma, Moshe heard it. At first he came with a taina, but at the end of the day, Vayishma, Moshe heard what Aaron said. He didn't start arguing with him. No, Vayitav Beinov. He agreed. He agreed with what Aaron HaKohen said. He was Moedim. Aaron, you're right, and I was wrong. So here we see here, of all the Shvatim, of the 12 tribes, who is the one that was Zeichet to Malchus? Who is Melech? Yehuda. Why? Man is Yitzir Kapash or Kodesh Baruch Hu. Man is the creation through the handiwork of Hashem. Nivra B'Tzelem Elokim was created right in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yipa Bapav Nishmas Chaim, Hashem gave him a Neshama. Chelek Elokai Mimal. The Neshama, right, is a part of the Divine. That's the Neshama HaKadosh Shev HaTorah. Shall yoda through this holy neshama ube'em tzivusa hare doime dimyan ma'ale boirei. A person really has resemblance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to his creator, because he has the neshama. Neshama is a chelik alakam yimal, is part of the divine. So therefore man who has the neshama therefore has a chelik, is part of him, which is doime, which is similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baram, however, af al pish yesh lodem selam lakim, even though a man is in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's very important that he realize the man says to him, "Oh, I'm the image of Hashem." So the man says, "Oh, so just like Hashem is perfect, I'm also perfect." He walks around all day. I'm a tzelem elokim. He says, "I'll make sure." He says, "Tzelem elokim, yo. But there's no chalz amen." She says, "Don't forget that part." He says, "It's important for a person she yosim tomit keneged ein of zay yedia who emitis the em is the yedia." Now tzelem elokim ahen ahim, but don't fool yourself. Know exactly what you are. You're a human being. That's what you are. So this and he says, Sharaka Kodesh Baruch Hu Tomim Belishim Pagam. Only a Kodesh Baruch Hu is complete without any pagam, without any blemish. Aval Hodom, you can be as great and you can be as holy as can be, but just a lamench. Aval Hodom, he says, Yegodol Bekodesh Kechol Sheyeh, he can be a godol, he can be great and can be as holy as possible. Olul, he's apt, Umiyuad Litois Velachtoi. Man is prone to sin. That's what it is. Man is prone to sin. Kedivra Achokha Mekolodom, Ashlom HaMelech, right, the wise and the man of all, he said clearly in Kehelis, Ki Oda Main Tzadik Boretz HaShiyasa Toiv Lech, that means there's no Tzadik, be any Tzadik there is. Of course, they don't do the Aver of the Tzadik is not going to be, you know, the kind of Aver is that the average person would do. But nevertheless, every person, no matter how great he is, there is a level, according to his Madrega, there's a level he's going to sin. Odom Shein Amoid Alo Emes Shito, a person who does not, who is not ready to admit that he made a mistake, then he's denying the difference between him and Hashem. Like,
You're also like Hashem. You're also like Hashem. What do you mean? You don't admit the truth. So you're perfect, Tesis. You don't want to admit. So you are, therefore, you're removing the distinction between you and Hashem, because you don't want to admit that you make a mistake. Just like Hashem is perfect, you also want to give the impression as if you're perfect. Va'arehu, therefore, he's like Pari. Pari, as a matter of fact, wanted to make himself into a deity, as Rashi brings, right? Ve'kofar b'likim chayim. So v'nire, next paragraph. Shezeh oymekamachum. That's really the depth of what we say in the davening in Shacharis. You might remember we say this, right? Before Hoydu. La'oylam ye'yodam yirashamayim, right? Beseisro bagolo, it puts you be yirashamayim, you know, whether people see, whether people don't see. Some people are yirashamayim in front of other people. But so we say, no, loyim yerum yeshemaim b'seisa, in ubagolo, it doesn't matter what the situation, it should always be yeshemaim. And then it says, umoyd alo emes. Isn't it interesting? Of all the traits, this one is brought out. Umoyd alo emes, your person who admits the truth. What's the nekuda? Why is this being brought out? Hainu, because kehoido alo emes, he chelik mi yerushemaim. Because being moida on truth is a chelik of yerushemaim, because he understands that there is a rabbanishim that's above him, that's greater than him. Shemavin, because he understands Sheish Hevel, that there's a distinction between his creator, Ben Yoixroy, Shehu Tomim, because Baruch Hu is perfect, Belishim Pagam, Leben Atmoy, to himself, Sheolo Litois Velachtoy. Yerushamayim understands, of course, that there's a very big distinction between him as a person, human being, and if you're not a Moedal Emes, you're removing that distinction, that you, as if you can't make a mistake, you're also something way up there, like Kibiochel, you compare yourself to Hashem. This midah, to be able to be Moedal Emes, is a precondition to be a king, to be a melech b'Yisrael. V'ine midah zu, he gam tenai l'malchus. This midah of Moedal Emes is a precondition in order to be zeichet to royalty, the Shumayim should bestow royalty on you. Ki mevoye b'divra chazal, Chazal tell us, the Medrash says, Mitema zocha Yehuda l'malchus, why is it? Malchus b'Yisrael, of the melech, everybody, everything comes from Yehuda. Yehuda was the melech among the Shvatim too. And right, and from his legacy came out David HaMelech, Malchus. How come Yehuda, of all the Shvatim, why was Zeichet to Malchus? Because by the might of Tomer, he admitted that he was at fault. Right? In spite of the great, tremendous embarrassment that it caused him. Ki rak ha-moid al-emes mesugal iskus ha-malchus. Because only someone who is moid al-em, why? Because realize, if you are Melech, there's something very dangerous. I'm a Melech, Hashem is a Melech, we're both kings. But you have to realize, no matter who the Melech B'Yisrael has to realize, he's a Melech, but there still is a great distinction between HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Malchem Lochem. But if you become a king too, you might fall into the trap of thinking, I'm a king and Hashem is a king, so maybe there's some resemblance here. But if you're a Moed Alo Emes, then you show your weakness, that you're just a human being. Then you can be a Melech. Because otherwise, the danger of the Melech, the Malchus goes to your head. Oh, I'm a Melech, look how great I am. Being a Moed Alo Emes, then we can give you Malchus. We're not worried that it's the danger, because being a melech could be a danger. I'm a melech and Hashem is a melech. Maybe we're the same. So only if you're a moed alo emes, there's no danger of it giving you malchus, because you'll know how to keep it in tow. So that's why, if you're a moed alo emes, then you're mesugel to be zeichet to malchus, or b'chol zois, even though you're a melech, lahakir lahoidish, you call malchus to be Hashem. I'm a melech, but it's not me. It's Hashem who gave me this power. Hamamlich melochim, he's the one who appoints kings, v'lo yamlucha, and the true malchus is Hashem. Now, V'yesh l'tzarev, he says, binyan zeh. He says, it's mamra mishnah b'perkei avos. We can connect to this. The mishnah says, shiva devarim b'goylem v'shiva b'chocham. We have a chocham and we have a goylem. The goylem is the opposite of the chocham. And the mishnah lists seven, right? Seven milas, seven traits of a chocham. And the goylem is the opposite, doesn't have it. What is one of the seven milas? The echom, one of the seven milas that defines a chocham is a chocham moed alo emes. Interesting thing. It takes chocham also to be moed alo emes. Might think, maybe it's Yerushalayim you have to have. What's it got to do with Chochmah? You see from here that even to define Chochmah, the true Chochmah, that true insight, to recognize really where you are, not to misread and not to assess yourself, right? And to give yourself that which you don't have. To be a Chochmah, to be able to really evaluate yourself. A person who's not a Chochmah, therefore, is not objective enough to be able to see truth in what his true value is, and therefore he overestimates himself, thinking he is as great and there's no limit to his godless. But you have to be a moed alo emes, involves chokhmah. Now, I want you to skip this next few lines and go to the next paragraph. Ra'isi b'sefer anaf eitz ovis al pirkei ovis. Very fascinating thing. The sefer called anaf eitz ovis al pirkei ovis from Avadi Yosef. Avadi Yosef has a pirish, a sefer on pirkei ovis.
And Rav Avadia Yosef brings down, he says, Shehevi Maisa Niflim Agoyin Ubisol Lipkim Asalantir. Ubisol Salantir. This Maisa, by the way, I've seen in other places as well, but we have it here in print. Sheomer Alabime. It's very fascinating. Ubisol Salantir, you know, who is the founder of the Musar movement. One has to realize Ubisol Salantir, not only was he, I mean, obviously his greatness in Musar, I mean, he was the founder of the Musar movement, the teacher, he's the father of the Musar movement. He was a Goyin Agoyin, he was a tremendous Goyin. Tremendous Goyin. But being with such a great Bala Musar, so of course he would hide his godless. The last thing he wanted to do is to exploit and to flaunt his godless. So therefore he would keep it in. But Mevinim, who knew, understood that he was tremendous. He was a Goyin Oilam. Sol Salanter was a Goyin Oilam. So tonight he's overshadowed by the fact Musar, Sol Salanter, Musar, again about his Musar, again about his Musar, 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 Musar. But he was a Goyin Oilam in all over Shas. And he was the Maisa. The Maisa was that he was standing on the Bima and he said his shield is Nechachme Beis HaMedrash. Say Yeshir in front of the scholars of the Beis HaMedrash. Ubemsa Hashir Hikshu a Talmud Echad Kushya Tzuma, a true Kasha. A Talmud asked him a very strong Kasha on the Shir that he gave. The Bissol Omad Vechoshev Misper Dakus, the Bissol stopped and he thought about it. Thought about it. He says, a few minutes, a few moments, he thought about it. Ubesoyf Hoyde, at the end he admitted that with that Kasha his whole Shir, he said, has been ruined. His whole Shir has been destroyed. And he walked off the Bima. The Ozav Zabima Viorat. He walked up. That was Maisa number one. Behind the scenes, after he walked off, and he spoke to his Talmidim. Arikach Sipper Bisrol the Talmidov. And by the way, this Maisa also, there's a sefer of different anecdotes that Rav Shach told over. And one of the anecdotes with Rav Shach told over was Mamish the same Maisa regarding Bisrol Salanter. That Bisrol Salanter later on, he spoke to his Talmidim and he said to him like this. So that's like this, he said. The truth is, when this Talmud, let me just tell it to you, when this Talmud asked me the question, immediately, he said, in my mind, I had five terutzim that I could have given him on this kasha. The reason I didn't answer it, because I knew they weren't true. But that Talmud would not know. That Talmud would not know. I could have answered him five terutzim that he would have been satisfied. In the moment. But I knew that these five terutzim are flawed. Only I knew that. It is called honesty, intelligence, right? Intellectual honesty. And I walked off, he says. Even at the expense of everybody thinking that the Talmud asked the Kasha, right? I could have answered it. But being that I didn't feel that was the real answer, the Talmud would have been satisfied with all the truths that I gave him. I could have saved my COVID. I couldn't continue this year. But I felt it wouldn't be honest. Because I knew it. Nobody would have known. So I also wanted to answer. Haminuli, haminuli. In my mind, he says five terutzim, five answers. Show you gam miskabli misel lechol oizin shemas. Every ear would have accepted it. Ava belibi yodati, but in my mind, I knew. Shekol haterutzim oelo einim nechoyim laloche. But being that I knew that these terutzim are not true. V'chei atzelik im amakshe, that the truth is the one who's asking the kasha, the question. Umachshoves rabbis esroises subikirbi. And I had a lot of machshavas in my mind. Should I say it or not? Im loymer saterutzim oyle v'litchoyz divrei makshe, right? And all types of different cheshbonos because of kavod haTorah. Because maybe it doesn't look right. A person like Bisrol Salanter, right? Should be able to somehow, should be out debated. Should have such a situation that he would have to walk off. Maybe it's maybe b'chasson of kavod haTorah. So there's a frumkeit in it that maybe I should have used these false terutzim. He said. But at the end of the day, he said, last two lines here, L'besoif natachti is Yetzer Hara. He says, I was victorious over my Yetzer Hara. My Yetzer Hara tried to give me all the reasons that I should continue, give him those five terutzim and everybody be happy. But I realized there's a Maisa Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, he says, at the end of the day, I was victorious. Kremati le'atzimi Yisrael. His name was Bisrol Salanter. Yisrael, you're learning Musar, you're teaching Musar. Does this pass for Baal Musar to do what you want to do? He said to himself, I have to learn with Musar. Keep grasp the mid of Moed Al Emes V'kachos Sisi V'yaradati Min Abima. He says. Now it's very interesting. He brings another version just there in the bottom here. Look here. He said, Benusach Shayne Ketzas, with a slightly different version, Reisi B'tsefer, there's a sefer called Ateres Ovois. Shehevi Maise Zem Reb Sol Salanter B'shem Agoyin Reb Yor Lapyan. So Reb Yor Lapyan had a different version of this Maise. Slightly different. But look at that. Sheoma. Because again, remember the Maise was Reb Sol Salanter thought for a few moments and then he walked off. According to the first version, what was he thinking? He was thinking, should I give him the five terutzim or should I not? At the end of the day, he came to the conclusion after a few minutes that he very quickly thinking it wouldn't be right to give him those terutzim that are really flawed. Rav Lapan had a different reason why he was thinking. Why was he thinking? Why didn't he just walk off? So he explains like this. He said, the Sibbe Shabbi Yisrael Himtin Kama Dakois. The reason said that Rabbi Yisrael waited a few moments, La'acha Shinishla Ashayla, Hoysen Utsa Bekach, is based upon the following. Shechoshav Liatzmoy, he says, Ba'oysim Ragoyim. What he thought, Kima'acha Abish, called Kavanos Bamiris Hashurim Belimud. He said, the reason he says why I'm giving these Shurim in Torah, I should be able to have Ashpor on Musar. And people are going to see that my shurim aren't strong enough, maybe they'll take away my koyach on Musar. So his chesed was that maybe for the sake of Musar, it's kedai that I should throw those five terutzim to appear, right? To appear that my shurim is still strong. I shouldn't lose my shpoh in the area of Musar. At the end of the day, you don't give Musar on false foundations. If I want to be matlich in Musar, it can't be by what? Doing something in another shir that is not perfectly honest, even for the sake of Musa, because that's not how you build Musa. Musa cannot be built on a foundation that's not perfectly honest. And that comes out at the end of the day. So right, we're going to stop you with this, and let me just conclude. But boys, let me tell you this: we're talking about already about Rabbi Yoel Apian. Rabbi Yoel Apian, being the great Bala Musa that he was, this is mechaber that you know, Rabbi Sholem Shadron, who was called the Magid of Yerushalayim, he was the one that really recorded many of the shmuzim of Rabbi Yoel Apian, and he was the one who gave out the Sfarim Lev Elio from Rabbi Yoel Apian, which the shmuzim are on the Masuda according to the Parshas HaShavua. And Rabbi Yoel Apian, of course, everything that he did with strong emotion, deep emotion, and with a lot of enthusiasm. People say that even just watching him daven, even watching Rabbi Yoel Apian daven, he would sometimes tremble. You watch him say how he said Shema Yisrael, where Rabbi Yoel Apian would say Shema Yisrael, either the Shema of Shacharis, or it would be the Shema Yisrael they're just saying by Ma'ariv. It was the Kavona, the intensity, the depth of his concentration. Let me just tell you about Kavona and Tefillah. Let me just tell you, Gabuche. I heard many years ago from Rabbi Yoel Baruch Finkel, one of the Rosh Yeshivas of Mir. He never died young, just about a few years ago, just not too long ago. Rabbi Yoel Baruch Finkel, as a young bocher, he said, he davened with his father. His father was a Moshe Finkel. He says, davened in the private minion that the Brisker of Revelville had. Brisker of had a small minion in his house. And he says, he remembers it as a young boy, I don't know, he's 8, 9 years old, he says. It was on Rosh Chodesh. He says, I was on Rosh Chodesh. He says, the interesting thing is about the Brisker of, he says, if he stood next to Revelville Brisker, he says, when you heard him davening Shemoyne Esrei, his tefillah balachash, means the Queen Esther, he used to say the words slightly loud. And if you stood next to him, you could hear exactly what he was saying. He would say the words slightly loud, even though it was the quiet Shemoyne Esrei. But he said it slightly loud, so if you'd be standing next to him, you could hear what he was saying. So my Shohei was like this, was Rosh Chodesh, and you're hearing davening, he's saying Shema Kuleinu, then he's saying Ritzei, he's supposed to say Ya'alav Yovei. He's forgetting to say Ya'alav Yovei. He's forgetting his Rosh Chodesh, and now he's going to say V'sachzenu Einenu. What are you supposed to do? You shouldn't be listening, right? You're hearing him. He's now, they're supposed to say, Rebbe, what are we supposed to do here? I mean, this is a private Shemoneser, right? He happens to be saying a little louder. So he's supposed to remind, what are we supposed to do? I mean, you see that he's missing, he's skipping Ya'alav Yovei. So the Gabbai, of course, not going to touch him. He goes right over to him, right next to him, and he bangs on the table. Ya'alav Yovei, Rosh Chodesh. He says, the Brisker Rav is just oblivious to it. He just continues on. And he goes again. He bangs on the table and says, Ya'alav Yovei, Rosh Chodesh. And he just continues on and on. You know, what can you do? They waited until he steps out, the Shemoneh Esrei, and they go over him to Revelvel, and they say to him, Revelvel, it was Rosh Chodesh, and we heard that you missed Ya'alav Yovei. And he puts his two hands to his head. Really? I forgot Ya'alav Yovei. How could I forget Ya'alav Yovei and Rosh Chodesh? He said, Rebbe, that we announced it. When he davened, his kavona was so strong, he didn't hear the announcement. This is a demonstration of how deep devotion and concentration can be so deep that you can see how it bothered him to skip Ya'alav Yovei when he heard later on. And yet when you reminded him during davening, when he was davening, he didn't hear anything else. You could have all the noise and the commotion around him. His mind was totally in intensity and depth of concentration. That's called Kavanah Tefillah. This is a Maaseh Shohei that Rabbi Yoel Baruch Finkel said.
When he heard later on, when he was a tremendous star, he said, tremendous star. So you try to remind him. He didn't hear it. He's Damish Manesre, he doesn't hear anything. That's a madrega of deep kavonet that person is able to daven. Anyway, so it said Rabbi Pian used to get up very, very early to daven. When he's already, he's an old man already. He was an old man, and yet he used to get up very, very early, sometimes even before Aloysia Shachar, before dawn, when it's even you're not allowed to daven yet, but he'd get up very early. So when they asked him, they said to him, why are you getting up so early for? Why are you getting up so early? So he says, because after 120 years, he says, you come up to Shemayim and you stand before the Bezi Shemali, you stand before the heavenly court, he says, and they're going to ask me, did you live by all the laws of the Shulchan Aruch? I'm going to try to say yes. So I say, okay, they're going to open up the Shulchan Aruch and try to ask me. So we open up Shulchan Aruch. Now, Simon Aleph, the first time Shulchan Aruch says, Yiz Gabra Kari, a person should strengthen like a lion, Lavoides Abaya, to get up early in the morning. You say, did you do that? I don't want to be caught in the first sif, he says. So there had to be caught somewhere. I didn't comply. It should be somewhere late, maybe in your day, but right in Archaim, right in the beginning, he says, I should right away, Shai, he said, I don't want to fail, right? The first question, he says, right? I don't want to fail that way. Anyway, there was a Rav, Choshev Rav, Rabbi Kirzner in Brooklyn. Talking about Rabbi Lezer Kirzner. He had a Talmud Chochem. He went to Eretz Yisrael. And so he made sure to stop in Kfar Hasidim. That's where Rabbi Lezer Pian was. And they learned together, Rabbi Kirzner and Rabbi Lezer Pian in Lithuania many, many decades ago. And now that they were reunited, they spent quite a few hours together. And the mom's very happy, warm conversation, renewing an old friendship. Being that it got late, so Rebellion invited Rabbi Kirzner to stay overnight. That he stay overnight, and he accepted. Rabbi Kirzner woke very early the next morning and was very surprised. He sees in the next room that Rebellion piano is already up before him. Not only that, he's already standing in talus and tefillin. He's wearing already his talus and tefillin, and he's standing in front of a front window, so his back was his front to the window, and he couldn't see there's somebody behind him. Rabbi Kirzner was behind him, and he sees that his lips are moving, and he seems to be repeating something over and over again. He couldn't make out what it was, but he could see it was the same thing. He's repeating the same thing over and over again. So this Rabbi Kirzner walks quietly in back of him to be able to hear exactly what are those words. And he could make out that Rabbi Lapian is referring and reviewing. He said the following words. There's a pasuk in Devarim. Says, Leisovi toyeva el beisecho. Don't bring an abomination, something that's detestable. Don't bring a toyeva into your home. And he repeats it again. Leisovi toyeva el beisecho. Don't bring something that's an abomination. Don't bring it into your home. So, suddenly, Rebellion turns around and he sees Rabbi Kirzner. So again, apologizing. Did I wake you up? Is that why you're up? He said, no, you didn't wake me up. But he says to him, why are you repeating this pasuk? Leisovi toyeva el beisecho. Lapian said, listen, I'm a mashgiach in the yeshiva, he says. You realize soon we'll be going to the Beis Medrash, the Daven. They wait for me, he says, at the mashgiach till I finish Shema, Hashem Elokeichem Emes. They wait for me until I conclude Shema Nesrei. When I come into the Beis Medrash, they stand up. He says, I'm afraid that all the cover that they're giving me just may go to my head and I may become a balgaiva, said Rabbi Lapian. And therefore, I repeat, he says, the words Leisovi Toyeva El Beisecho, because by Gaivit says the same pasuk Toyavas Hashem, or we had in the Yorchis Tzadikim, Toyavas Hashem called Givalev. It's an abomination. Those who are haughty is an abomination to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we say Gaivit is also called Toyeva. So he's chazing over and over again that he shouldn't be nichshel in Gaivit. Leisovi Toyeva El Beisecho. So by Kirzner says, I don't understand. A person like you, Rebellia, says, a person at your age, he says, there's your Yetzer Hara, he says, do you still have a Yetzer Hara at this age, especially for COVID, that you're worried you're going to fall into the trap of Gaiva? At your age, you really worried about that? That you have to keep referring to Pasuk Leisovi Toyevo Bisecho? So Bel looks straight in the eye and he says, I want you to know, a bad midah, he says, a bad character trait, says, like a grenade. You have a wonderful moshul, says, like a grenade. So a grenade, he said, could lay in a corner for many months. Hundreds of people can walk by and it doesn't go off. But then someone carelessly, he says, moves the grenade, so the pin becomes dislodged, and the grenade explodes. He said, it doesn't make a difference who caused it. He said, it could be a young man, it could be an old man. The same thing he said with a bad trait, could have a bad temper, or could be gaiva, he said. He said, someone, he says, can control it for years. But if just one person, he says, is careless, no matter how old he is,
It can explode, he says, with all its intensity into tremendous damage. So he said, every minute, he says, to the end of your day, you have to keep working at it, and it's a lifetime work, and that's what Rebbe Lapian teaches us in the world of Misa.